You know, as you think about society and where we live, you can divide it into several different segments. You can divide society, and you can divide our culture by age, you know, by those that are 60 and older, and those that are middle-aged, those that are younger, infants. You can divide our culture by gender. You can divide it by means, those that are low-income and middle-income and high-income. You can divide it by beliefs, many different religious beliefs that we have. You could also divide it by positions in society. That is true not only of our culture, but it was true back in Paul's day, and we see in the book of Titus, he is addressing the culture in Crete in a couple of different ways. We've already seen that he has addressed the older men, hasn't it? The older and the younger men. A distinction of age. We also see in the first chapter, he talked to the elders, distinctions of positions there in the church. We also saw that he talked to older women, younger women. Now we come in Titus chapter 2 to a section now where in the sphere of the teaching of sound doctrine, Paul is telling Titus, exhort another group of people. And this group of people is not defined by their gender, not defined by their age, not defined by their means, but by their position in society. They were the low of the lows. They were the slaves. Perhaps if as you have read history, you understand that slavery was a very prevalent thing back in Roman days. Slavery was very common, and even to the point that sometimes almost half of the population of Rome would have been considered slaves. Turn your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Many times when we look at passages like these in the Scriptures, from our modern context, we immediately make the leap of going from the slave-master relationship to the employee-employer relationship. Before we go there, I want us to understand something very significant. There is a vast difference between those two relationships. Slave and master. Employee, employer. Think about that, will you? Think about the vast distinction that there is. The slave is in a position of forced labor and service. He did not earn anything for his work, and he had no rights of his own. They weren't even really considered citizens. They were property. This stands in stark contrast to us today, to our jobs and us as employees today. We choose where we want to work, don't we? We expect a salary in exchange for our labor. In fact, if we don't get one, there is a picket line. We expect to be respected by our employers. In fact, our nation has all kinds of laws in place. You've got to be paid this much, and you can't be discriminated in any of these ways, and all of that. All that's in place. Now, with all of those differences in mind, let's consider which role or relationship would be the most difficult or challenging for us. Easy answer, right? Slavery. Be the most challenging, most difficult. Be slavery. It's the bottom of the human existence. It is these dear people that Paul addresses through Titus. Now here's the question. If God's expectation for slaves is such, most certainly we ought to live this way in our places of work, in fact, in all areas of life. If God can place such strong expectations upon slaves who have no rights at all, then we, who do have rights, who do earn income, who are considered valuable parts of society, we should take these things to heart. We should seek to live these things out in our relationships. And specifically today, your mind is going to be drawn to relationships in your workplace. A relationship in regards to where you have an authority over you. Someone who instructs you in how you are to operate in whatever sphere you find yourself. You know, I was reading this week on this subject of work in the workplace, and I found a list of attitudes that bosses hate. Listen to this list. Not my job. Need more money. Wastes company time. Promises, promises, promises. Needs more help. Always complaining and disagreeable. Clock watcher syndrome. The troublemaker. And the supports the rumor mill. Any of those ring true in your heart? I trust not, but I do believe that all of us at some point or another have identified either our personal lives with these things or someone in our workplace. The scriptures in several different places addresses this relationship of a slave and a master. And it is for this reason. It is because it was and is a prevalent part of society. And it is because it is in that place where the low of the low, when they live their lives to please Christ, you see a stark contrast between those that do not know God and those that do. And it has an impact upon the authorities in their lives. I want you to realize something. You, in your place, in your sphere of submission to whether teachers, authorities, whatever it might be, in that position of being, we'll call it in subjection, in submission, you are in a place where you can shine for Christ, because it's not a great, glorious, and honorable position. But as you stand and live for Christ and please Him in all ways and areas, people will take note and say, you know what? Their life isn't that great. They serve, they work hard. But yet I see an attitude and I see a heart that seeks to please me. There's something about them that's different. You know, that's a mission field. Many of you have testified about ministering on the mission field of your workplace. How often have you interacted with the boss? And it's been because of your testimony at work. Titus chapter 2. I want to read verse 1, and then we're going to jump down to verse 9. Titus 2, 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That's the sphere in which we're operating here in this context. Titus, speak the things that are befitting of sound doctrine. Now, verse 9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all thinks. Now, as we look at this text, we are going to see two very specific instructions. First of all, we need, as servants, to be obedient. And secondly, to be well-pleasing. I want to explain those a little bit for us, because you might say, well, that seems so very simple and clear. Well, let me say, it's that simple and that clear. God's expectation is that we be obedient. Well, what's that word? That word, in other places in the Scriptures, is translated, and here we go, it's translated submit. It's that word where you place yourself in line under the authority. It is that position that we find ourselves when we go to the workplace. It is the position that these slaves found themselves when they would wake up every morning and their masters would be telling them what to do. They were in a position where God called them to be submissive, to be subject. None of us like to hear that. None of us like that position. In fact, it's those people that at your workplace that are arguing and that are the most difficult to get along with. They're fighting against that attitude. Because no one likes to be second fiddle. Nobody likes to be told what to do. Titus here is to instruct the servants. Now, which servants are we talking about? We're talking about servants that love Jesus. Because I want to tell you something. You don't love Jesus, then these kinds of things are crazy. Why should I want to be obedient and subject to my authority? I mean, if you think, put yourself in the position of a slave back in those days, you would have been bought in the slave market for a price. How humbling is that? And you would have been separated most likely from your family. You would have gone to this home of a wealthy person, and you would have been given assignments to accomplish. If you did not accomplish those assignments, you would have been disciplined and punished. You would have had no voice of your own, no rights. Think about the bitterness that would be built up inside people like that. You would have been abused. You would have been used for practices that would have that would defile yourself, your body, your mind. And these kinds of people existed all throughout the Roman Empire. But the wonderful thing is about the gospel is that it reaches from the low to the high. And it's sometimes those people that are in the lowest of means that realize their desperate need and come to Christ. And that was happening now in Crete. There was people that were coming to Christ, and yet they were servants. And they had no means of their own. They had no freedoms of their own, but they were servants. Well, the attitude could have been, I have trusted Christ, now release me, God. Give me freedom. The attitude, instead, Paul says, submit yourself to your masters. Put yourself willingly under their control. Instead of being belligerent like you were in the past, submit. Understand your place in society as your God-given role and live it out. I trust that's a help and exhortation to you as you go to work this week. Realize that it's not a punishment, but it's a place that God has you at this time to accomplish His purposes. There are several other passages that speak of this slave-master relationship. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do," listen to this, "and whatsoever you do, do it heartily. As to your boss, No, that's not what it says, does it? I mean, think about that. Do it for your boss. Boy, there'd be a quick end to that, huh? But no, God says, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So in Titus chapter 9, Titus exhorts the servants to, first of all, they need to be submissive. Secondly, they are to please their masters well in all things. Now, sometimes people will raise the question, okay, what if my boss tells me to do something? What if my master tells me to do something that is not pleasing to God? What am I supposed to do? Well, I want you to understand something, that we need to look at the entirety of Scripture and understand that the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 19, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, Peter and John said to the Pharisees, religious leaders. And then in Acts chapter 5, they said this, we ought to obey God rather than men. And so, before you get yourself led off in this whole realm of, I gotta do something that doesn't please God, no, realize you live and please and work for God, number one. You seek to please Him. And as you please Him, you please your boss. You please your earthly authority. Please well, the Bible says there in Titus chapter 2. This could also be translated, be acceptable. Work in such a way that your conduct is very pleasing to your boss. Does your work, does your conduct, does your attitude bring about smile, a relief to your boss, to your authority? Are you one of those problem people that they have to always deal with all the time? Or are you somebody that, you know what, they got it, they're okay over there. I can focus on this situation because I know they're okay. They do their work well. They are well pleasing. Paul gives us several things under this. He describes what this means is to be well pleasing. He gives us two negatives and one positive. In the King James, it says, not answering again. So how can we be well-pleasing? Well, Paul gives us some practical examples. First of all, don't answer again. In other words, don't contradict. Don't speak against. I can remember back when I was a land surveyor. I started out a low man on the totem pole. Not the totem pole. I was holding the survey pole. But I was just low man. I did all the grunt work. In fact, that's what they call those guys, runts. But I worked, and after several years, I was able to become a crew chief, which meant that I was an authority and I had people working underneath me. I will tell you, one of the most frustrating things as an authority in the workplace was to have people question my instructions. Now, I sought to be a very teachable leader, and I understood the importance of hearing and understanding what my workers and their perspectives, what they had to say, and I respected that. But there came a point in time when it just went overboard, when they just didn't stop, and they continued to question, and they would do things their own way even after I had told them how to do it. You know, It was very difficult, especially I had one employee that professed to know Christ, and he was one of the worst of them. The testimony of Christ is tarnished by someone when they are answering back, they're speaking against, they're contradicting the authority that they have. So do not be one who contradicts and speaks against your authorities. Now I realize that Paul's speaking to servants here. He's speaking as to a slave and a master relationship. There was very little room for the slave to speak to the master concerning issues. We've got a lot more room and leeway today with that. Our employee-employer relationship, there is a difference there. But I believe, and I want you to understand the application here. The application is, are you respectful with your speech? Are you respectful with your speech? Do the things that come out of your mouth, are they respectful of your authority and their instructions? You can imply that. I can imply that. So are you respectful with your speech? There in verse 10, you see, not purloining. Now this word, it means to not keep back thing, or not to keep back things for yourself. Sometimes in our day we call it embezzlement. The slaves back in those days, many times they would be placed in over many things, sometimes over money, over cattle. They would have access to their owner's possessions. Well, think about the temptation that it would have been for a servant who was very well respected and given authority over many things to just take a little bit for himself every once in a while. To be a thief. My mind goes back to Joseph. Joseph being an authority in Potiphar's house. He could have anything he wanted there. You know, but he stood with integrity. And even when something that was not his was offered to him, Potiphar's wife, he stood with integrity and refused. Well, what's the lesson that we can learn here? Are you honest? Are you a man or a woman of integrity? When nobody else is watching, what do? When you have the company credit card, or you've been given money for a specific thing, how do you handle it? Do you have an attitude that I deserve a little bit? He won't mind. They won't mind. Listen, the instructions here are clear. Be respectful with your speech. Be honest. Be a man or woman of integrity. I battled this when I was working surveying, because I had an authority that was dishonest. And I under him, I was expected to just flow right with him. And that was a very difficult thing and position, and it took me a while to work through how to correctly handle that situation. Because my spirit said, I must be honest to my boss. I should not steal from him. The amount of time that I work, that's the amount of time that goes on my timesheet. You know, that's tough. The unsaved coworkers that I worked with, they looked at me and said, come on, it's just a little bit, or it's not much. They don't care. You ever hear those kinds of words and attitudes? We need to be people of integrity. And thirdly here, we should be people respectful in our speech. We are to be honest in our integrity. Thirdly, we are to be godly in our behavior. Verse 10, not purloining, but showing. Here's the positive, but showing all good fidelity. That word fidelity is also translated as faith in other places in the scriptures. And this idea here is we are to display upon ourselves to make manifest by one's life, to point out something by our example, good faith. How's your behavior at work? Is it befitting a follower of Jesus Christ? Keep this in mind. Your people that you work with, they might not have any idea who Jesus Christ is. They might not have any expectations for a follower of Jesus Christ. But they know how the world lives. Do they see a difference in you? Do they see a difference in you? You need to be respectful with your speech. You need to be honest in your integrity. You need to be godly in your behavior. Why? Well, he tells us here that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Your life should be a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's really a very picturesque term here, adorn. This is the idea of one who puts in order or who arranges. So the desire is that the servants present properly the teachings of God by their respectful, honest, and godly life. How are you presenting the teachings of God? By your life, by your speech, by your behavior. Is it a very clear, crystal clear presentation of Jesus Christ in the gospel? What's exciting is when you study the scriptures, it all goes together, and I want you to take note of what follows. Verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." So in other words, what Paul is saying, listen, servants, listen, Titus, you need to fulfill your role and your calling where God has you. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. Why? Because the grace of God bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men, including you servants. All of us, it's appeared, Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 6, another place where Paul addresses this relationship of servant-master. Verse 1 says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort." So, you're probably thinking about work right now. Well, I want you to think about work, but I want you to think about how you live at work. What's your attitude? It's where God has you right now. What's your attitude? Are you submissive in heart? Are you seeking to be well-pleasing? Is your speech respectful? Are you honest in your integrity? Are you a man or woman of integrity? How's your behavior? Is it godly? Is your life a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's a high calling, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus Christ has saved us so that we, through His power and might spread the gospel, that the world might know Jesus. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Is it appearing to your boss through your life? Do they see it? Your co-workers? Do they see Jesus? Lord, thank you for these instructions. And God, you've addressed a specific group of people today. And Lord, we quickly realize that we are not slaves, and our authorities are not masters. But yet, God, we believe we can apply very clearly these truths. Certainly, we have it much easier than they. Or we should. Oh God, help us as your people to please you in our workplace. In Jesus' name, amen.